What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TMNBaseballFan.com. I don't know. I feel like this compulsive need to do a podcast whenever I'm walking outside at night. It's really kind of funny. I already did an interview earlier today. Really good stuff. It was about the guy named Chris that sold his collection and put all of his funds into an invention that he made, handsfreepopcornbucket.com. It was fun. It was great. It was a very interesting story. But anyway, so I guess one time isn't enough for me, so here I am talking once more. I want to talk about really kind of the, I don't know, just kind of like a conglomerate of things, I guess, that has to do with circling around the idea of cardboard addiction. So it's kind of funny because obviously my book, Confessions of a Baseball Card Addict, is it's a light-hearted read and everything, but y'all, it's a serious issue. But before I get to that, I need to vent about something last night, something that happened yesterday actually. So we were going to visit my mom, and she so what we did was Holly, Atticus, and Beckett, we all got in the car, and we pulled out of our driveway, and Holly goes, "Hey, babe, look." And I looked, and in our driveway, there's a cat there, and it was breathing really shallow. So apparently there's a cat that was underneath our car, and so I guess I just ran over a cat, and felt awful. I guess I'm a sensey when it comes to animals, I suppose, or anything that when it comes to the type of creature that feels pain, So I was like, oh man, I felt terrible. So ended up taking the cat to the vet, and it was a mess. I mean, it was awful. And the vet was very nice. They said that they would put the cat to sleep for under the Good Samaritan, whatever they had, which was real nice. I'm super, thankful for that. And they said all you have to do is just donate whatever you want, and to help cover the costs, and we'll take it from there. So, so okay, that's wonderful. But it was just a kind of a really crappy way to start off the afternoon there. But anyway, so whew, now that that's off my chest, I'll tell you what though, any time from here on out, I get into a car, I'm going to be, double and triple checking to make sure that there's nothing around, because that sucked. But they said they thought it was a stray, and I don't know. That was a tough situation there. Anyway, so yeah. Needless to say, it's going to make me check under the car four or five times each time I get behind the wheel now. And I don't know. It's not like we ran in the car and peeled out down the road. I mean, it takes a while to get Beckett in his car seat and everything. So I guess the cat just didn't want to move. But anyway, so enough cat talk. Let's go to card talk here. So this is kind of something that was on my mind recently, which is interesting. Is I remember that there was a husband and wife that were talking on Facebook, back and forth, very publicly. And the wife was upset. I mean, she was livid. She was talking about how her husband was just spending so much money on baseball cards. And I get the sense that a lot of the viewing public that was reading this stuff probably didn't understand. Why would, first of all, why would this guy spend money on baseball cards, especially enough to make it to the point where they're gonna, have marriage problems? But it was pretty ugly for a while. So, and it was obviously entertaining for the people that were reading, but I felt for this guy and for this lady, because clearly there's a problem. And I've kind of talked about this in the past before as well. It's a very large running joke for all of the collectors out there, Mail days are secret. You know, I run to the mailbox and bring them back in as quickly as possible so my wife doesn't find out. And it's kind of like a running joke for everybody in the hobby, it seems like, that's married, which is kind of unfortunate because, you know, you don't want to hide anything from your spouse. But anyways, it was kind of a strange thing for me to realize that it wasn't just one, two, or three people that were doing this. This is like, it seems like it's almost across the board. And like, just kind of, you know, what? Wow, I've seen polls that people did like, hey, am I the only one that hides my mail days from my wife? Or is there anybody else out there also? And, you know, overwhelmingly everybody says, yeah, I hide it too and all this. And I'm like, holy cow, that's rough. So anyways, I felt like I needed to address that here because that's definitely not a healthy thing in a marriage. And remember this meme, it said, my greatest fear in life is when I die, my wife will sell my collection for as much as I told her that I spent on it. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't want to join in on this, in this culture of this bad habit, really, because I don't think it does anybody any good. So, you know, I have a couple suggestions. First of all, just to put bluntly, you know, stop it. You know, knock it off as far as hiding things. There's going to be a problem if things are being hidden in the marriage, and it's not going to, you know, who knows, maybe it's easier to hide other things in the marriage as well if this is what you're doing also. So with that said, I want to give you some practical tips. First of all, the way to go about it, I would say, to start off, is to play offense and defense on this. And I've talked about offense and defense in the past, but let me tell you what that means specifically in this instance. So from an offensive perspective, if you can make money in this hobby and you can kind of have it be like a self-contained thing, that's fantastic. And plus it helps whenever you have to talk to your wife about it and say, you know, she goes, wait, you spent $2,000 on baseball cards this month? Helps a lot more if you could say, well, yeah, I mean, I sold $2,000 worth, or, you know, $1,500 or $2,500 worth, or whatever it is, this last month. And it doesn't even have to be that big of a, you know, that big of an amount. I remember my mom telling me about my dad. One time she said, yeah, I found out that your dad spent like $100 one month on baseball cards. And this is like back in the 80s or 90s, you know, and I was like, wow. And as an adult, I mean, that's like nothing. I mean, remember back then, that was like the days of the 50-cent pack, you know, so big difference. But anyways, nowadays, so even if it's like, if it's going to be something in your budget that's, you know, that's not in your budget to do $50 or $100, you know, it would be very helpful to be able to say, well, to your wife, you know, well, hey, look, yeah, I spent $50 or $100, but I also sold $50 or $100 and worth of cards. So that's going to help out tremendously. So on offense, I mean, I've talked about this at length in my book as well as on my podcast several episodes ago on how to sell cards. You know, and a lot of it is just really time. You have like a different set of glasses that you put on your face to look on eBay whenever you're buying to resell. And it takes a lot of time. It takes whole different mindset. It's not a mindset of, you know, ooh, I see card, I click buy now. You know, it's not that at all. It's something where you have to educate yourself on pricing to see if there are things that are undervalued or underpriced. Purchase on eBay or anywhere else, and then, you know, turn around for a profit. You know, that'll be very helpful to your marriage. I think it'll do a number of things. So primarily, number one, you could make sure that this doesn't become a money pit of a hobby. And number two, I think that'll alleviate the desire that you may have to, you know, lie or you know, be deceitful whenever it comes to talking about you know, how many hobby dollars are going towards your hobby. So, as far as defense goes, I'm really starting to think about this as it like an honest to goodness addiction for people, especially the box breaking, case breaking life, the razzing and all that. And so I've talked about razzing before. I'll say it again. Razzing is typically done in Facebook groups where somebody has a $100 card or a $1,000 card, whatever it is, but we'll start with a $100 card, and they sell 10 spots for $10, and it's randomized off afterwards. And you know, let's say if number 7 wins, then the purchaser of slot number 7 wins the $100 card for $10. You know, it's gambling, you know, I mean, but really pack, box, and case breaking is gambling as well to an extent. So, but anyway, so I understand, like, I am probably not to as great of a degree as probably many of you do, because I just haven't really, I don't have a whole huge, like, super big desire to open product. I would much rather go for singles because I don't like the uncertainty of anything. I remember opening a few boxes in the past and going, man, like, you know, spending $75 to $150, $200 on a box and getting nothing. And it just feels awful. I just can't get over it myself. That's just me personally, because if it's not something that I love, I sell. And so if I'm dropping $200 on a box and I get $40 worth of resale, thinking, well, that was like a $160 lottery ticket, and I don't buy lottery tickets. So anyways, all that to say, you know, one thing that I was actually just finishing up a book. I wish I remember what it was called. Atomic Decisions, I think it was, something like that. But anyways, it was kind of like a goal setting type of book. And one of the things they talked about, which is very applicable here, is you're really kind of a product of your environment to an extent. And in this situation, the way I think it's helpful is whatever you feed yourself is what you're going to crave. So if you feed yourself a steady diet of looking on eBay, you're going to crave getting cards off eBay. The way to combat that, and I think it's just a fantastic way of doing it, is to set cards in your own collection on your desk, you know, on the, you know, anywhere that you're, that you normally congregate to, and, you know, put some of your favorite cards on there, switch them out. And, the reason why I say that is because when they're out there, as you get bored or things get tedious at work or whatever, you have a pile of cards that you can look through, and you can be intentional about being appreciative of the cards that you have. I've employed this method for the last several months myself, and it has worked wonders. Like, my brain has been looking at what I have, and I go, man, that's just such a pretty card. Look at this. And, you know, another way that I go about it is I'll do these little videos or pictures and post them online, and I enjoy the feedback because it kind of helps give me another perspective and adds a new dimension for my hobby here. But guys, it works. It works so much more. Like, when you put your eyes on things that you don't have, more than the things that you have, you want those things that you don't have more than you're thankful for the things that you already have. And you know, I mean, I can attest to that. That's exactly how it's been for me. So, and plus, I'll tell you what, I've really fallen in love with some of these cards that are like not worth as much, you know, like as far as the 90s inserts and parallels go, and even some of the newer ones, like the 2018 Bowman's Best Atomic Refractor. That card, guys, oh, I mean, it's probably not more than like a $5 or $10 card, but that thing is beautiful. Like, these cards that that we have and can get, they don't have to be like monumentally rare or expensive to be able to really enjoy them. That's just part of the game there is really kind of putting the time in and seeing what you really do like. So another idea I had for everybody out there that might want to figure out how to curb the cardboard crack addiction, so to speak, is to impose your own limits. And so it makes it kind of a game to be able to impose your own limits, a budget per month. And it's very satisfying when you stay within that budget and you get some things that are like really amazing. And also it keeps you more accountable for where your dollars are going. And if you don't have a budget, then you see a card that you really want, and you might say, "Oh, forget it. I'm just going to go ahead and click buy it now. I just don't want to, have a problem of a run into the worry with, possibly this card being gone and picked up by someone else." Yeah, that's going to happen if you're on a budget. But the great news is that we need to remember that there's absolutely no way we can get everything out there. So in light of that, we also need to remember that there is a glut of super rare stuff out there. So if you miss one super rare card, guess what? There's 11 billion super rare cards out there also that you can get. So, and as far as increasing budget goes, a couple ways you can do that. Number one, go back to the beginning of this podcast, sell, that will help. If you have a budget of 100 a month and you can sell 300 a month, then, obviously if you want, you can raise that budget and, get more cards. Another way to do it, and this is kind of a fun thing, that I would think, imagine if you instead took the budget that you have for like going out to eat or going to the movies. I'm not talking about like sacrificing a great time and entertainment with your family. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the times that you might go drive down to McDonald's yourself or some of these other places. Instead, consider cutting those out and seeing how much money you could save and use that money for cards as well. And, on top of that, I mean, gosh, such a healthier idea to put those dollars toward the hobby as opposed to, just horrible for you food. I mean, look, I personally love McDonald's. I don't really hardly ever get it, but I understand that the pull would be strong to, continue getting those quick meals or snacks from fast food places and stuff. But, that's kind of a double whammy there though. You can be more healthy, while you save money so you can put it into the hobby. So, those are just a few ideas. If you have any ideas also on how you budget and if you have any other ideas for other folks out there that might be dealing with this actually as a legitimate addiction, feel free to reach out and let me know. I'm on Twitter at TanmanBBFan and email TanmanBaseballFan@gmail.com. And y'all, that's all I have for tonight. So I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback. Please feel free to like, subscribe, and share this podcast. And tomorrow I'm going to have Matt on the podcast for an interview. And he's co-host with Greg over there at the Essential Credentials podcast that you can find on YouTube. And eventually I hope to get Greg on as well. I was actually just chatting with him about 2 minutes before I started this. So it'd be great to have those guys on. So, all right. Well, I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks for listening.